watching this edition of the Toronto Blue Jays, how much does it remind you of your edition of the Toronto Blue Jays in 2015?
I mean, it's always tough to compare teams, but certainly they are really, really capable offense. And obviously, I think everybody noticed my tweet. At least everybody in Canada noticed my tweet. But I didn't know it was gonna be such like a. I thought it was such an obvious statement, but you know, got a lot of attention. So these guys are great. There's a lot of good young hitters. There's a good mix. Getting Springer back was important. Gurriel kind of floundered early in the year. Simeon's having a big year, so it's all really coming together. I mean, when you see all these guys kind of on fire at the same time, it shows you how big of an impact a good lineup can make. So, you know, there's probably some similarities between 2015, but it's tough to compare them really, because I think so uniquely different at the same time.
Chris, you talked about how the offense has gotten red hot, and when things are going that well, what's the thought process like for a lineup or maybe just yourself as a hitter? Is it just as simple as going up there, see ball, hit ball, or is it you're trying to recreate the same approach going to the plate? Because whatever these guys are doing right now, aside from yesterday, although they had some pretty hard hit balls that they didn't get so lucky on, they've been red hot. They've been lights out, as good as we've seen an offense in major league history. What do you think the change has been in their approach? Is it just being more patient?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of things, right? Like, you're watching a group of relatively young hitters mature, right? You know, the only two really veteran type players that are fixtures in the lineup are Springer and Simeon. So you're really watching guys like Bo and Vlad, even Gurriel is young, Alejandro Kirk. You're watching these kids turn into, more men. And what happens as you go through the year, it really looked like about 3 weeks ago, they just made a decision that they weren't going to lose anymore. And when that happens, and I guess there is one similarity with the 2015 team, right? But it's more, not on the surface level to me. Like, we decided we weren't going to lose anymore at the All-Star break back then. And it just looked like these guys did the same thing. And that, the beauty of that is that it takes so much pressure off of every individual, because when you stop trying to do it for yourself and you're thinking about doing it for the guys around you, it makes it that much easier, right? And it makes it that much more fun too. So that's kind of just what it looks like to me, and I think that's why obviously they had the big results, those three or four games in a row, obviously. But it's deeper than that, in my opinion.
Chris, we all saw that remarkable comeback the Blue Jays had to kick off this month, where they storm back and beat the A's 11-10 after being down multiple times. Does one win like that spark an entire team? Because baseball is tough to quantify when it comes to momentum, but when the Blue Jays, seemingly after that game, they've been absolutely red hot. Does it just take one game like that to flip the narrative on a season?
I think it can. Obviously they knew they were good, right? There's no doubt that those guys offensively knew they were good. And it really just seems like this is kind of the first time all year that they've all been in a good place. You know what I mean? Where if you catch everybody in the right stretch, there's really not a break in the lineup, as you saw obviously in the Baltimore series. Like, they have 16 runs in the first three innings at one point. So, the confidence, the mindset, it's probably just bigger than the one game, because that was just a microcosm of kind of a mindset that took over a little while ago. There was, look back 2 weeks ago and it looked like they were, kind of floundering and out of it. But, and it takes a lot of maturity to know that you're kind of still in it and that you still got something to play for and know what you had coming up. So, definitely it's a boost, but it just reminds you of what you already know is true. You know what I mean?
Chris, this is maybe a fan thing, because We've seen the ups and downs with this team offensively. We've seen them, you know, light up the scoreboard. We've also seen them be treacherous offensively in a prolonged stretch. So is there ever a sense as a player or as a team when you put up, you know, they put up over 40 runs in a four-game series against the three-game series against the Baltimore Orioles, and you kind of look at the offense and go, did we use up a little bit too much of our good at bats and timely hits? Is that because I know fans think that it's like, hey, save some runs for the playoffs or down the stretch here. Is there ever a sense when an offense is going so hot, it's like, hey, it's going so hot now, but we know how quickly this train can stop?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, when I was young, we used to think we'd run out of hits, right? Like at some point, like you're just going to run out. But really, I mean, that series was like the perfect storm, if you think about it, right? You know, you catch an entire lineup of really good hitters, and I would say, you know, I guess I was downplaying it, but I guess there are a lot of similarities. Like that's what would happen in 2015. Like if you catch everybody on the right day, you know, it's dangerous, obviously. I don't think there's such a thing as saving it, right? There's no like, you know, you can't plan for the future and stuff like that. The hard thing about being a good offense is there's, you know, the neutralizer is great pitching. And when you run into great pitching, it can be daunting. And, you know, the key to the whole thing, and I think, I've watched the Blue Jays play a few times this year, like start to finish. And the key to the whole thing for them is really, you know, creating a plan, sticking their approach, staying in the strike zone. And that's where the maturity is coming in. You know, you've seen Vlad, you know, particularly obviously he's having an MVP type season, has a chance to win the Triple Crown. Like you're watching him swing at less bad pitches. So a lot of that comes with, you know, just psyche, mindset, approach. Same with Teoscar. I mean, obviously he had a great year last year, the year before, but you know, that's what happens when you mature. Is you start kind of sticking to your guns a little more. And for these guys, I think if they get themselves to just swing at strikes, like it's gonna be some pitchers that are gonna have some nightmares with them. I'll tell you that much.
Chris Colabello, former Toronto Blue Jay co-host of the Pelotero Pickle podcast, joining us here on Sportsnet today. That's Matt. I'm George. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What type of home field advantage do the Blue Jays have at Rogers Center? Because you were here when that stadium was jammed and it was an electric factory down the stretch. What does that mean for the Blue Jays if they do play some playoff games here? What should those players expect playing in front of these fans?
Yeah, probably the best home field advantage in all of baseball, I think. I mean, we saw it in 2015, how passionate the city got. And I think, obviously, with the last kind of 2 years shaping up the way they had, it's even bigger now because you recognize how valuable it is to be able to play at your home field and play in front of your own fans and see how intimate that setting can be if you're on the right side of it. I mean, and to that point, you know, I wrote a tweet and I got whatever, the, you know, multiple 1,500, 1,600 likes in the course of a day. Blue Jays fans love the game. They love their team. And they want to be attached to something. And I think that was, I even think that was a factor for them when they weren't hitting a little bit, right? Like start the year in Dunedin, you know, you got certain conditions when going to right center and stuff like that. And I think that's part of what made Vladdy so good early in the year is he had a good right center approach. And then, you know, you come home and all of a sudden you want to impress your fans, you want to play for your people. And then now, obviously, I think that's, again, you're catching these guys all getting to the right place at the right time of year. And obviously with these fans in Toronto, it's, you know, it's as good as playing anywhere else. I know at a minimum, if not way better. You know, I'm biased though, so it'll be a fun run here for them, and I'm rooting for them. See what happens.
Chris, take us back to that 2015 playoff run. Like, you know, there was a time when the team, you know, was kind of scuffling along, and then the trade deadline happens and then all these reinforcements are brought in. And then you look at the team top to bottom and go, wow, this team could really make some noise. As you get into the playoffs and then when you're finally into the playoffs, what is that like for a player? Because, you know, you saw the ups and downs with that team over the course of the year. And once you get in and you're playing the Texas Rangers and playing in front of, 50,000 fans at the Rogers Center, what is that experience like? Because we will never experience that as fans, but as a player, do you kind of become maybe not overwhelmed, but aware of the gravity of the situation, especially, you know, in a city that didn't have a lot of success, especially getting to the playoffs with the baseball team? Like, do you realize how big this is as a player? And then when you're in the situations, when you're up at bat, do you even hear what's going on around you from the fans and what's going on in the ballpark?
Yeah, I'll answer that one first. I hear everything. I heard it. The experience itself is magical. It's palpable. And the first day I noticed it, I remember it like it was yesterday, was the first game that Price pitched after we traded for him. And it was the stadium filled up earlier. It was a day game. We're playing the Twins. I'll try to remember it like it was yesterday. The swarms of people were coming in. I don't know. I think they opened the gates a little bit earlier that day, but I mean, as a team, we had made a decision that we were going to make the playoffs. I don't know that anybody else really knew that. And then the trade deadline obviously happened, and it just kind of reaffirmed all of that for us, right? Because we knew we were just putting a couple more pieces in place that were going to fill some, some void. Not even voids, really. They were just going to solidify some voids. It was magic, right? Like, and it was a perfect storm of events. You 22 years without being in the postseason. Guys like Hosey and Edwin, who hadn't really had an opportunity to play postseason baseball, and just really like a good blend of guys. And I've talked so much in the past about, you know, the integral pieces who are like, I call them championship players, the guys that you don't, really think are like the most important cogs, but they're kind of like the glue that holds it all together. They're like patchwork in the dam. And that's, doing a disservice to guys like, we have Gogo and KP, myself, and really not superstar caliber players, but even bigger than that was having guys like Kawa around and guys like Josh Tolley, Mark Lowe, just personalities that allowed you to like remember not to take yourself too seriously at any given point in time. It's a special place. I think the fans are a big factor in that, a huge factor, if not the most important factor. And we all understood the severity of it. We all understood the importance of it. And when we started that Texas series, it manifested itself, right? Because we played nervous. Like, we played nervous for the first time we had all year. Like, you'd think we'd be nervous when we're down 7 games at the deadline, but it certainly all came out in those first 2 games at home. And we made some mistakes that, were not normal. It was awesome. It was magical. And obviously, we would have liked to start the series better, but it obviously led to such a, such a magical moment. And I think when we got to game 5, it was, we knew, we could all tell there was a different vibe all around it. And it kind of all came out in the best way possible in that day. So, it's definitely different. And it's good to have that support because it makes you play nervous, but like kind of in a good way once you like really embrace it.
Chris, how do you remember the 9th inning in Kansas City in that game 6 of the ALCS, and more specifically how Ben Revere was hosed by the home plate umpire?
Yeah, it was such a – Kansas City is a place that, like, it kind of – like, they obviously had the experience from the year before playing in the World Series, the whole – like playing there is like – it's kind of treacherous in the sense that it's really loud for an outdoor stadium. And kudos to their fans for creating the environment they did. But, it's October baseball. It's cold. It's kind of dingy. It's getting dark earlier. And you can tell that there's like a different vibe, obviously. And, I remember those games and just having like these like eerie feelings, right? Like as opposed to playing at home where, you never really tell what time of the day it is when the roof's closed. So it's always the same. But it was, you know, that like leading up to that ninth inning, that game just felt so far away for as close as it was. And there's times when you're, you know, you're up by one, you feel like you're up by 100, and there's times you're down by one and you feel like you're down by 100. You know, it really all started in the eighth when Hosey hit the homer to tie it. And, you know, we're like, you know, a run and three outs away from taking this game to a, taking this thing to a game seven, and really anything can happen. But obviously the way that the inning before played out, you know, Kane gets on base and Hosmer hits like this just weird ball down the line. It's just like a weird ball. And they obviously, I think one of their advantages is how they ran the bases. So that, you know, they take the lead, and honestly, it was almost better that he scored on the play that he did, because it kept Hosmer at first. Because if we throw that ball home, you know, maybe, or if we throw that ball from second to home, it was a weird situation altogether. The ninth just felt strange. Like, we get a lead runner, like Russell hadn't really swung the bat, you know, to the way we knew him swinging the bat all year. And then he gets on to lead off the inning, and, you know, we steal second, steal third, and we're like, it's right there, you know? And in those situations, you're trying to figure out, you know, you can play it back 1,000 times in your head and say, like, what could we have done differently? And, you know, Navi, you know, pinch hit for Gogo, I think. And then obviously Revy coming up in that spot. And it's like, you sit there and you go, man, like, if we had a different part of the lineup up, or if, you know, we'd thought about maybe doing like a squeeze bunt or whatever, but, you know, you're on the road, you almost have to just, you know, take your chances at trying to win it there, take the lead. It was just weird. It was a weird feeling, because, like, very rarely did we have a runner on third in less than two outs and not score. And, you know, testament to that team and their back end pitching. You know, they were like the three-headed monster there at the end. And, you know, they set the series up. They executed everything they needed to execute. And at the end of the day, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. It was a shame. It would have been great to go to a game seven. But I really felt like, you know, we can say this till we're blue in the face. So I think we were the better team. It's just they were more prepared to win. And if we win that series, we probably win the whole thing. But, you know, I'll go to my grave saying that, because I'm biased. But, you know, it was a sad way to end it. I think I sat in the clubhouse and really didn't want to leave, because I knew it was the end. I don't think any of us were ready for it to be done. So it's sad. And, you know, you think back and what an accomplishment it was. But, you know, you always want to win your last game of the year.